Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Dana Vallabha Girivara Dari Jaya Gopi Dana Vallabha Girivara Dari Yasoda na 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 bhajana na 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 Yasoda na 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 bhajana na 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 Yamuna tiravana chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasade Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan Yajna ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Tvayuditam Sobhanam Eva Sobhane Anahuta Pyabhyanti Bandhusu Te Adi Anutpadita Dosa Dristayo Baliya sanatmya madena manyuna Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Tvayuditam sovanameva sovane Anahuta apyabhyante bandhusu Te yajanutparita dosa dristayo Baliya sanatmya madena manyuna
Matajis. Matajis. Bhagavan Uvacha.
The great Lord replied,
Tvaya,
by you,
Uditam,
said,
Shobhanam,
is true,
Eva, certainly. Shobane, my dear beautiful wife. Anahutaha, without being invited. Api, even. Abhyanti, go. Bandushu, among friends. Te, those friends. Yadi, if. Anutpadita dosa dristaya, not finding fault. Baliyasa, more important. Anatmyamadena, by pride, caused by identification with the body. Manyuna, by anger. Excuse me. Translation. The great Lord replied, my dear beautiful wife, you have said that one may go to a friend's house without being invited. And this is true, provided such a friend does not find fault with the guest because of bodily identification, and thereby becomes angry towards him. Purport. Lord Shiva could foresee that as soon as Sati reached her father's house, her father Daksha, being too puffed up because of bodily identification, would be angry at her presence, and although she was innocent and faultless, he would be mercilessly angry towards her. Lord Shiva warned that since her father was too puffed up by his material possessions, he would be angry, and thus would be intolerable for her. Therefore, it was better that she not go. This fact was already explained by Lord Shiva because, although Lord Shiva was faultless, Daksha had cursed him in so many harsh words. Om Agyana Timirandasya Ginandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamsya Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakam Vitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakulpatrubhyacha Sakripa Sindhumyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Lord Shiva was totally detached from all worldly entanglement. And therefore, Lord Shiva was always fixed in meditation on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Lord Shiva remained calm and peaceful, even although Daksha had behaved highly inappropriately, and even although Daksha had spoke very rough and offensively, Lord Shiva was never perturbed. Lord Shiva remained always perfectly peaceful and unaffected by these harsh words. Therefore, his mind was cool, it was balanced, and he was able to look at the situation with a cool head. His wife, on the contrary, was feeling very much affected, because after all, it was dealing directly with her own family. By the harsh behavior of her father, she was very much affected, not only emotionally because he spoke such unfriendly words, but also it actually disturbed her whole relationship with her mother, with her sisters, and with the whole rest of the family, because she could barely go home. So it was a serious problem to her. But she was tolerating. But it hurt. It hurt deeply, and she was tolerating. Then, on one occasion, her father organized a very great sacrifice once again. He had previously performed that sacrifice where actually he offended Lord Shiva. And now again, he wanted to perform a great sacrifice, and he invited many, many great prominent personalities. And practically not only all great sages, but all the different demigods and anybody who was somebody, anybody prominent in the entire universe was going to be there. But not Sati. She could not be there because her husband was Lord Shiva and he was not going. So she felt very despondent. Everyone who is dear to me, everyone who is having some position will be there. It will be an amazing gathering and I will be missing out. Therefore, when she noticed that her husband had absolutely no interest in partaking in the function, she made up her mind and decided that she wanted to go alone. After all, it was the house of her father. So it is totally acceptable that a daughter will stay in the house of her father for some time. So in this way, she reasoned that I can certainly go alone, even if my husband is not going. That's all right. But I should still go, because after all, they are my direct family. And in this way, she was looking at the situation from a perspective of her own attachment. She was looking at it from an attached platform. She was attached to her family members and therefore desired to be with them. And that was in the forefront of her mind. And therefore she forgot the unnecessarily envious condition that her father had already previously displayed towards Lord Shiva. And this envy that Daksha displayed was of such an intense, deep nature that it was not to be expected that suddenly it would have disappeared by now. Because the nature of envy is that it's not going away so easily. That envy grows deep roots in the heart. Such envy takes control of a person who begins to act even against his own self-interest. Daksha, otherwise a highly qualified person, a most pious personality, very qualified, somehow or other became spoiled by this envy. The reason was that Daksha himself was very prominent in the entire universe, and therefore Daksha was highly honorable. And when Lord Shiva married his daughter, by social custom, Daksha was superior. And therefore Daksha was considering himself superior and was demanding that Lord Shiva would treat him with the respect due to his superior and take a subordinate position. However, Daksha was not considering that in the universal order, Lord Shiva has a far superior position than Daksha did himself. After all, Lord Shiva is not in the category of Jiva Tattva. We understand Ksiram Yatadadi Vikara Vishesa Yogat that Lord Vishnu is expanding himself into various Vishnu forms and then takes the form of Mahavishnu. It is from this form of Mahavishnu that the form of Sadashiva is manifested. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we find some deeper insights on the nature of Shiva Tattva. There it is described that basically there are two manifestations of Lord Shiva. That is to say, the Lord Shiva in his form as Sadashiva, who is residing on the spiritual side of the Viraja River and has an abode there on the banks of the Viraja River on the Vaikuntha side. Viraja River being the separation between the material and the spiritual world. We find then that from that Sadashiva form, another form manifests, which is the form of Rudra, who is residing in an abode on this side, on the material side of the Viraja River. So we're dealing with two manifestations of Lord Shiva. The first, Sadashiva, is a direct expansion of Lord Vishnu. And in that sense, we see that Lord Shiva, Lord Sadashiva, is still within the Vishnu Tattva category. But then, Yata Dadi Vikara Vishesha Yogat, then that transformation takes place when Lord Shiva begins to mix with the mode of ignorance as the controlling deities of the gunas, as one of the guna avatars. Then the Lord takes that particular form of Rudra, and it is explained that at that state his original potency is being limited. Srila Jiva Goswami says that just as there is an oil lamp with a glass around it, if the wick is not burning properly, then it will cause a lot of black soot on the glass. And if the glass is never cleaned, then eventually that whole glass will turn black and the light can no longer penetrate. And then the lamp doesn't work very well. So in that way, it is described that Lord Shiva, in that transformation from the original Sadashiva, becoming Rudra, due to mixing with the mode of ignorance, his original potency is also being limited, just like the black glass of the lamp. So, therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam, we find references sometimes describing the demigod Shiva, the demigod Lord Shiva, and other times we are referring to Lord Sadashiva, who is residing on the spiritual side. So here in this particular pastime, we are dealing with the demigod, Lord Shiva. His abode is being described as Kalash, the abode of Kuvira, and so on, which is on this side, on the material side of the Viraja Viraja River. So, still, this Lord Shiva is not an ordinary personality. This Lord Shiva is still superior to any jiva, and is to be considered in a tattva of his own. Therefore, Daksha was acting in ignorance. He was forgetful of transcendental knowledge, which according to his position, he should have had. Daksha, as is stated here, was on the bodily platform. Daksha was simply considering a bodily relationship that he had with Lord Shiva, namely as father and son-in-law. And therefore, he considered himself superior on that plane. So we can see that spiritual relationships always supersede the material relationships. That therefore, spiritual relationships are always to be given prominence. We see in the case of, in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we find descriptions of devotees who were in the same family. Like, for example, Mukunda and Raghunandan. Mukunda was the father and Raghunandan the son. But somehow or other, Raghunandan received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya first. And then the discussion comes up, who is the father? Lord Chaitanya is asking, who is the father and who is the son? So Mukunda said, he is the father and I am the son. He is the senior person, because he came first to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So in this way, a son can become superior to his father if he is in the spiritual relationship in a superior position. So the spiritual relationships supersede the material ones. So this was Daksha's great transgression. One should understand that Daksha was not a resident of this age of Kali, where proper etiquette is almost forgotten, and where now such a thing would be kind of acceptable. And he said, well, you know, can happen. Someone overlooks the Vaishnav etiquette. But especially at the time of Daksha, in the beginning of the universal creation, Daksha being one of the Prajapatis, one of the mental sons of Lord Brahma, who was particularly assigned to populate the universe. Again, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is giving us a lot of detailed description about the universe. And the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is describing how the Prajapatis are not residents of this planet Earth, but rather are residing very high within the universe. In fact, it is stated even beyond Swark. Even beyond the heavenly planets, they are residing on Janaloka, which is a very exalted planet. And it is explained that those who are residing on these higher planets, the Jana, Mahar, and Tapa Loka, they have attained that position because when it comes to sexuality, they are not just in the grip of lust. It is described that the Prajapatis are not just governed by lust, but that the Prajapatis particularly genuinely had an interest to create good progeny, good offspring, and that there might have been an element of lust, but certainly nothing in comparison to the lusty desires of the residents of Swark. What to speak of those on this particular planet who are totally governed by lusty desires, who are always in the mode of passion. In the heavenly planets, the residents are described to be predominantly in the mode of goodness, which basically means that their primary interest is to act properly according to the desire of the Supreme Lord and to make spiritual advancement. Then they are also under the influence of passion and lust. But here, in this particular planetary system, the primary predominant feature is the mode of passion, or the very strong lusty desire to enjoy our senses, in particularly through sex life, which is very much predominant. So it's not surprising to see the condition that exists nowadays all over the world, also very much here in Bombay, where illicit sex is so much in the forefront. So the Prajapatis are really of a different nature and very exalted by nature and inclination. Therefore, we have to understand that the actions of Daksha would have even been an offense for us, residents of these lower regions. What to speak of a personality like Daksha, who was a resident of such exalted regions? As one is finding himself in a more exalted position, one's responsibility is also equivalently increasing. And therefore, we understand that Daksha was having increased responsibility due to his very exalted position. Therefore, we will see how Daksha will face very severe reactions for his offenses, very great, extraordinary reactions due to his very great position of responsibility. This particular chapter is a warning to all, even to those who are less qualified, that we cannot allow envy to govern us. Last night, Giriraj Maharaj also brought up the point of envy and made a nice point where Srila Prabhupada explained envy in a very simple way and said, envy means that you don't like somebody. And it said, that don't liking somebody should not be directed towards the devotees, but rather towards the demons. So it's the most simple explanation I've heard, right, of envy, actually. So we cannot allow to not appreciate a Vaishnava. Basically, we have to understand that every Vaishnava is being judged by Krishna, in particular for his service. The service of a Vaishnava is attracting Krishna. In the Krishna book, there is a nice explanation given of one name of Krishna, the name Achyuta. And there it is explained that Krishna is referred to as a tutor because he is infallible. A tutor means infallible. And it said he is infallible because he never fails to notice the slightest service rendered by his devotee. So this is Krishna. Even the smallest service rendered by his devotee, Krishna notices it. He registers it. In the Nectar of Devotion, there is a further reference to the appreciation that Krishna has for the service of his devotee. In this case, it is describing Draupadi. And it describes the incident where Dusasana was trying to disrobe her in public and so on. And it describes how Draupadi was trying to hold on to her sari with two hands, but what was her chance? These powerful kshatriyas were going to disrobe her, and she, with her own little feeble female power, was she going to be able to do anything? She realized this is a futile attempt. So she realized, what's the point in trying to hold on? There's nothing I can do now. Only Krishna can save me. And she threw her arms up in the air and called out, "Hey Govinda." It is said in the Nectar of Devotion, it was that point where Krishna, where she totally captured Krishna. And Krishna said, later on, Krishna said, whenever I remember how Draupadi at that particular time, this very difficult time, just completely took shelter of me. He said, then my heart is full of appreciation. And each time that I'm remembering it, my appreciation for her is increasing. So I thought this was very, very nice. I really liked that a lot. And it also made me think, because we have that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 2:40, Neha bikramo nasasti pratyavaya navijyate svalpamapi asya dharmasya trayate mahato ubhayat, that there is no loss or diminution in this process, and that it can save us from the most dangerous type of fear to again become caught up in the cycle of birth and death. So this verse has been sometimes referred to as the spiritual bank balance verse, right? That whatever devotional service performs, it goes in your eternal spiritual bank balance, and it just keeps on increasing as we are continuing our devotional service life after life. It's never lost. So somewhere in the back of my mind, I was always wondering, if there is bank balance, right, then there must be interest. Some interest must be there also. So I was wondering, what is the interest percentage? How much interest would there be in the spiritual bank balance? That was a question came to my mind. Then when I read that particular passage in the Nectar of Devotion about Draupadi and throwing up her arms in the air, Krishna saying that whenever I remember how Draupadi surrendered at that time, my appreciation for her is increasing. Then I suddenly realized the interest. I realized the interest. And what is the percentage? What is it? 100%. I'd say it's, why only 100%? Why only 100%? No, I wouldn't say it's 100%. It's unlimited. Unlimited, because Krishna said that his appreciation, whenever he remembers the service of his devotee, is eternally increasing. And Krishna never forgets. Right? So he remembers again and again. So it will keep on increasing. So this is how much Krishna is appreciating the service of a devotee. Krishna is not meditating on the disqualification a devotee has. Krishna, on the one hand, he totally overlooks that. when it comes to his appreciation, the appreciation that Krishna feels in his heart, he totally overlooks the impurity in his devotee. But simultaneously, there's another side in Krishna. The side in Krishna that is very kind and merciful and that makes all arrangements for our purification. And in that aspect, Krishna sees everything. Even the slightest little impurity, one cannot hide from Krishna. When we become before Krishna, Krishna Surya Samaya Haya Andhakar, Yao Hete, Krishna Taha Naya Maya Adhikar. Krishna is the sun, Maya darkness, whereas Krishna, the influence of Maya, cannot be present. It will be immediately exposed. Immediately exposed. I was feeling like that as I was coming towards India on the way to Vrindavan. I was thinking that that just coming to Vrindavan, all one's impurities are becoming revealed. Right? Because in Vrindavan, Krishna is very, very present, very directly present. And therefore, as soon as we come to Vrindavan, the slightest little impurity will show. It will show. And Krishna will make arrangements for purification. So on the one hand, Krishna is not seeing any fault. On the one hand, he only sees the appreciation. He only sees the service the devotee has done, and his heart is full with appreciation, and the fault of the devotee is not affecting his appreciation. But when we are envious, we may appreciate, yes, that devotee did this very, very nice, but, and then comes the but. And it's like a whole list of everything that's lacking in his personality. But Krishna, when it comes to appreciating, there is no but. It is fully appreciating. Then when it comes to the purification, Krishna knows everything. And as they say, it all comes out in the wash. Yeah. It all comes out in the wash. In this process of bhakti, sooner or later, one will be confronted with all his anarthas. There is no chance that one can circumvent some, and that one can simply act as if they are not there, and impress everyone what great devotees we are, and then eventually look in the mirror and think, yes, it's true, everybody is confirming it, I am indeed great. And we believe it, and everybody believes it, and everything is fine. But one day, we will meet our anarthas. Krishna will arrange. That Krishna will do. Krishna will surely arrange for our purification. Therefore, rather than waiting for Krishna to make the arrangements, we'd better seek the purification ourselves. If we become proud, if we forget our shortcomings, then our heart becomes very hard with pride. Then we are forcing Krishna to break that pride, to smash it, just as he smashed the case of a Kashmiri pandit, whose public prestige was being destroyed by Nimai Pandit. Yes. So, if our heart has become hard with pride, then it becomes a hard nut which Krishna has to crack. So, that will be intense, that purification. Better we seek out purification in a humble position, always looking for purification. Always acknowledging that still some impurities are there and that somehow or other we are here because of mercy. This movement is so potent, the mercy is so extraordinary that even those who are not seriously applying themselves to the process are still getting very much purified. That's us. Right? So far, we have not done so good in our spiritual life. So far, we have not taken it too serious. Ahaitikiya pratiyata, unmotivated devotional service. We haven't managed that yet. We always had some personal motivation as well. We've always been selective. This service, yes. That service, no. We have not yet been unconditional in our service, nor have we come to the stage of uninterrupted devotional service. Each time we do some service, now I can rest for quite some time before again I'll surrender. So there is a lot of work to do in seeking purification, and well, in that spirit, I've come now, came for some service for Vrindavan. I came here to, I got the good fortune to be in a meeting with some very exalted Vaishnavas, so get some blessings there and hope to get some purification. I came here to Juhu and see how nice just the regular morning program is being observed. How many devotees are partaking in the puja? How glorious the puja is, can be executed here. Sometimes we are traveling, we are in remote places where there are hardly devotees, where there's not such a strong morning program. Then when we see all the wonderful worship, the tradition that is here, then we understand that this is a place where there is a lot of special mercy. Whenever I come here, I always have to walk on Juhu Beach once, because it's a Tirtha, it's Prabhupada's beach. I did it this morning. Like that, this temple being so much Srila Prabhupada's temple is a place of pilgrimage. So I'm glad I could come. I'm also glad I went for hours in the traffic jam to Chaupati yesterday and heard Giriraj Maharaj speak after so many years. I'm also glad that I saw that first darshan which Radhanath Maharaj and his disciples arranged with many gopis and a whole forest of Vrindavan, because it really got the mood of Sarat Purnima, and it really made me think about Kartik and how Kartik is such a special month. And I was thinking, why is it so special actually? Why Kartik is that special potent month? I was thinking, because Krishna is personally attracted to that month, right? Because it's the month of the Rasa dance. Krishna is so much attracted to that month of Kartik that it becomes surcharged with his special mercy. So, in this way, it was a perfect arrangement to begin this month of Kartik yesterday. Although I thought it wasn't, because I thought, what a way to start Kartik with a meeting. We are really lucky, I thought. I thought, here we go again, right? Why do we always have to stick all the meetings in Kartik? Isn't it, Ravindra Sarup? Why do we have to pack that whole month, the best month of the year, with meetings after meetings after meetings? I was thinking. But somehow or other, in spite of all that, it all works out. So, because there is so much mercy. So much mercy. So thinking in this way, I hope, if we are meditating on how we are the recipients of so much mercy, that then we may maintain some dependence on that, right? Instead of thinking, I'm getting advanced. Instead of thinking, I am senior. Instead of thinking, I'm qualified. That is the great warning in this Daksha Yagya, who allowed himself to become proud of his position. Well, our movement also offers plenty of opportunity. Because as time goes by, the cushion that you get offered gets bigger and thicker and softer and so on. And in all respects, right, you will be given so much prominence. You can see how easily it can go to one's head. Therefore, a great struggle to be simple. A great struggle to acknowledge that we are simply a mercy case and that we have no qualification. That we are beggars. Amito Gangala. I am just a beggar. Beggar, no qualification, just depending on mercy. That is our position. That is our saving grace. The best way to develop such a mentality is not just through meditation. It's not just by hearing about Daksha and then trying to remember and meditate, because then surely we will forget anyway. Even if we try hard to remember the Daksha Yagya and meditate upon its deeper meaning, surely we will forget it anyway. As soon as the everyday activities begin, it will disappear into the background. The only thing that will really help us to remember is if we start applying these principles that are taught in this chapter of Bhagavatam in our relationships with the devotees. And therefore, that here in the everyday service, we take the humble position of just a servant. Just a servant. That's the only way we can remember. Even if we try to memorize all these verses, it won't work. It won't be enough unless we apply it in our everyday life, in the relationships, in the everyday service and relationships. Anyway, that's a lifetime mission, and I'm working on it, and I'm asking for your blessings. Somehow or other, I have a bold nature. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. So I went for sannyas, but that doesn't make me necessarily very qualified. So I'm here today speaking with not so much qualification. And while I'm saying it, I don't believe it really. That's the problem. That's how it is. You can explain it all very nicely and simultaneously have another compartment in the mind where you're still very proud and of all your achievements and who you are. So what a struggle it is to actually develop humility. Therefore, we need all the blessings of the Vaishnavas. We need all the mercy we can get. And then at the end, when we are being judged for our performance, and there's a big shortcoming, then I hope that all the blessings of the Vaishnavas will make up for what's lacking. And, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, the Vaishnavas' mercy, Prabhupada's mercy, like that. All those things are going to make the difference. It's not the service that we have done. It wasn't that much, actually. Somehow or other we were lucky that we were allowed to do some service. And then you get glorified for it. Although it only was mercy that we were allowed to do it. Anyway, such kind of thoughts come to mind at the beginning of Kartik, which particularly is a month for purification, a month to try and develop some humility, a month to glorify Krishna, give all glory to Krishna and his devotees. So in that way, I think that to study the Daksha Yajna is a good meditation in this month of Kartik, so that we can approach this special month in a humble mood. Okay, stop now. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, my question is, you said that from Mahavishnu, Lord Sadashiva is expansion of Mahavishnu is Lord Sadashiva, which is residing on the other spiritual side of the Viraj Chakra. And from him is an expansion Rudra.
Sorry?
From Lord Sadashiva is the expansion of Rudra, who is on the material side of the Viraj River.
Yeah.
So, can you please explain that what tattva is the Lord Shiva, which is on the material side?
So I explained on the basis of Brihad Bhagavatamrita the nature of Shiva tattva, and I particularly explained how Lord Sadashiva, who is residing on the spiritual side of the Viraja River, is a direct expansion of Lord Mahavishnu, and therefore still within the Vishnu Tattva category. Then, that the Rudra expansion becomes diminished in its potency, because mixing with the mode of ignorance, like the black, the glass of the lamp that has become black. Therefore, Lord Shiva, at that stage, as Rudra, can no longer be considered to be in the Vishnu Tattva. Vishnu Tattva at that stage is no longer fully manifest. Therefore, Yatada Divikara Vishesa Yoga. Therefore, as milk is transforming into yogurt, that's where that transformation, Vikara element, comes in. Still, it doesn't mean that Lord Shiva then becomes a jiva. He doesn't. Therefore, Lord Shiva is, as Rudra, is in a tattva of his own. He's in a tattva of his own. He is, definitely his potency from the originally Sadashiva manifestation is diminished. But still, his potency is far greater than that of any jiva. And it is also explained in the Nectar of Devotion that there it is said that the jiva has 48 out of the 64 qualities of Lord Vishnu, and it said that Lord Shiva is 55. Right? So we understand that very clearly, a further confirmation that he's in a tattva of his own, Shiva tattva, Rudra tattva. That's it. There's no other answer. It stops there.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. What is the importance of this Kartik month for devotee?
What is the importance of the Kartik month for the devotee? Because this month is very dear to Krishna. It is in this month that that the Ras Lila pastimes of the Lord are taking place. It is in this month that Damodar Lila is taking place. Therefore, it is in this month especially that the total surrender, either of Mother Yasoda or of the gopis to Krishna, is being remembered. So, therefore, Lord Krishna is especially meditating on this month, and he is paying extra attention to this month. Therefore, the mercy in this month that one attains is many times increased. So therefore, it is an opportunity to make special advancement. In the process of regulated devotional service, there are which is called Bhajana Kriya. There are two aspects. One is Nitya Kriya, the other one is Naimitika Kriya. Nitya Kriya is the everyday regulated activity, and Naimitika Kriya is the special type of service we sometimes perform, such as on a Janmashtami, or such as on an Ekadasi, or such as in the month of Kartik. So this Naimitika Kriya is, at that time we are meant to make a special endeavor. So in the month of Kartik, we are meant to make a special endeavor in terms of hearing, in terms of chanting, in terms of looking for purification, in terms of making some special, doing some special service for Krishna in this month of Kartik. Then, of course, we will attract special mercy. This Naimitika Kriya will give us great inspiration, and that will rejuvenate and strengthen our everyday practice. It will not only give new life to our Nitya Kriya, our everyday practice of the rest of the year, but it will also help us to start to raise the quality of our Nitya Kriya, to start functioning on a higher level. Therefore, this month of Kartik, it's like a handle. When you are going up some very steep staircase, you grab a handle and you pull yourself up. So it is an opportunity to pull ourselves up to a higher level of surrender in devotional service. So one should not just think, well, it's Kartik, very nice. We offer the lamp, it is a nice festival, I like it so much. Nice atmosphere, very nice. No, it's actually an opportunity to bring ourselves up to a higher level of surrender. So each year, when Kartik comes, we should pull ourselves up another step to another level. So once a year, we use Kartik. Yep, pull ourselves a little higher. And then we maintain it after that. At least, maybe we cannot always maintain everything we do in Kartik. If you chant many, many rounds, you may not be able to do it the whole year. But a little bit, at least. The spirit we maintain. In this way, Kartik is a great opportunity to make spiritual advancement. I think now we have to stop because it's getting late. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Kadam Kadam Swami Maharaj ki.